you have your Bible, Luke 4. Luke 4. I give you a C plus tonight. All right. We're going to have to work on it. Everybody's got to chip in a little bit. We're going to have to raise the level here. Remember, these were more noble than those in Thessalonica in that they searched the scriptures daily. So let's be more noble next week, all right? Ready? If you'll notice, Luke chapter 4. Now, this is the story of Jesus Christ being tempted of the devil. Now, I want you to tell me what things you know about this story. Matthew 1, Mark, Luke, those are the books it's mentioned in. Matthew's very clear. Matthew 4, 1, same way. Can somebody tell me some of the things about this temptation? Tell me anything you know about it. In the back. Pardon me? Okay, miracle power. Can you give me something else, a scenario about what's going on, Scott? He used Scripture. The Lord Jesus used Scripture. Anybody know how many times? How many? Three times. Okay. Does anybody know the first temptation, what it was? No. First temptation, it was to make a rock or stone bread. Can anybody tell me why that was a temptation? He had been fasting for 40 days. I'd have been ready to eat the rock without making it bread probably in 40 days. Well, you'll notice that the old devil comes to us, and we're going to learn some lessons from this passage from Jesus Christ himself that I hope will help you with temptations. How many of you know what temptations are? There, when the old devil comes to us, and now understand this, no temptation comes to us unless the Lord says, okay, you can test him. And to Satan, it's a temptation, trying to get you and I to fall. To the Lord, it's a test to see how well we do. Do you see the difference? The Lord wants us to succeed because there's all kinds of benefits when we pass the test. How many of you love to pass the test with an A-plus when you're in school? Okay, that's what the Lord is pulling for everybody in this room to do when the temptations come. Satan said, I'm going to tempt James. And the Lord says, it's only a test and he'll pass it. And Satan said, no, he won't. He's going to fall to the temptation because he doesn't love you as much as he loves that thing. That's the battle that goes on when temptations come our way. We know that from the book of Job. We know that from here. Notice, if you would, in the outline, Jesus was tempted just like us, but to a greater degree. If you have your Bible, turn to Hebrews 4. I want you to see that passage. Hebrews 4, I'm going to give you the reasons why this passage is such a help to us. And everybody in this room can learn tonight and be stronger. Notice, if you would, Hebrews chapter 4. Look, if you in verse number 15. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. So he felt in all points. He felt what it was like to be tempted with covetousness. Boy, she would like to have that. And he was tempted in all points like we are. There's a beautiful tunic over there. That is sure a beautiful horse over there. That's a beautiful donkey over there. That is a beautiful chariot over there. Jesus Christ was tempted in all points like we are, yet without sin. Now, understand this. I'm going to explain something to you. I'm going to say something to you. I don't fully understand it, nor does anybody that I know. He was 100% God, so he couldn't have sinned. But he was 100% man, and he felt every temptation you and I feel. I can't explain how those things are, but I just know they're true. It's very scriptural. 100% God, 100% man. That way, this verse could be written, he was tempted in all points like we are. He felt it. He knows what we feel when we want to pay someone back for revenge. He knows what we feel, but he never let any of those things ever touch his heart. They were never a temptation to him. He said no before they ever came. Notice, if you would, in the outline, A, every person is tempted to sin. The Bible says that in James. You don't have to turn there. We're all tempted to sin. Every person is. So there's nobody in this room that's not tempted. You know why? Because Satan is after everybody in this room. Now, notice, if you would, B. Temptations are allowed by God for a reason. Now remember, Satan calls them a temptation. God calls them a test. No teacher. We have some teachers in here tonight. None of you teachers would say, I'm going to give you a temptation to have, temptation to fail and get an F. No teacher would say that. They're going to say, I'm going to give you a test and I want you to make an A on it. That's what they're trying to do, is help you, encourage you to pass. And God wants that for all of us. But if he'd never tested us, we would never really grow to the power and the strength that he wants us to be. So notice, if you would, one, these are the reasons, some of the reasons why he allows temptations or tests, depending upon who's calling it, Satan or the Lord. They can make us stronger. You know, if you take, I noticed that we moved into our house and we didn't have enough closet space. And if you know anything about the wire shelving, wire shelving goes around usually one row, and we needed two rows so we could, you know, put two rows around in the same area. So I went in and tore it all out, and this half of the closet, and patched all the holes and repainted it, and then started putting in the shelving back in. And the shelf came in like 6 foot lengths or 8 foot lengths, and I knew I was going to have to cut it. And so you can cut it with a hacksaw or a reciprocating saw with a metal blade, or you can cut it with a pair of cutters. How many know what I'm talking about? A pair of cutters. You can just grab them and just do that with them. Well, I'd forgotten I was older than 20. And so I bought a set of cutters. Now, how many of you know that by just sheer physics that the longer the arms on the cutter, the easier it is? How many know what I'm talking about? Okay. But do you know the longer they are, the more expensive they are? So me being a tightwad and a cheapskate, I went and found some that were about that long. Okay? And so I got them and got my things up, and I said, okay, how long you want this? And it was this length here. So I got those cutters, and I put them on that first thing, and I had to cut off one of the ones that was up there, and I didn't want to take it down. So I put that thing up, and I went, the arms weren't long enough, or there was not enough here to get them to go together. So I never told her, and don't you tell her. I got up there, and I went like this and like that, and finally I got them cut, all four of them. And I was sore that night. I just went to sleep and went crashed. Well, the next day, I had some more to do. I did the same thing. You know, except I laid them on the ground and went, it was real smart that way, but you couldn't do that when hanging up there. So I kept working with them. By the fourth day, you know what? I could take that thing and go, I said, that's pretty cool. You know what that was? If you do things that challenge you or test your muscles and you do it long enough, you get stronger. That's one of his plans for a test. So that when you're tested, you say no. You're tested, you say no. Or you're tested to forgive someone. Satan wants you not to forgive them, and he gives you a challenge not to forgive them. Have some revenge, and the Lord says forgive them. The challenge and the test is, will you forgive? And the Lord says he will, and Satan says he won't. And so if you say, I'm not going to worry about that, I'm going to forgive that person, you get stronger. It's easier the second and the third and the fourth time. So tests are given to make us stronger. Notice, if you would, number two, they can glorify God if we handle them well. Now, obviously, cutting with a pair of pliers or a pair of cutters doesn't glorify God, but the theory is the more things you do that challenge you, that are hard for you, and if you make them work and you get them to, you figure out a way to get through it, it makes you stronger the next time, and then you can say no to the temptation, and that glorifies God. Job was challenged by Satan. And you know the story. He lost all of his possessions in 1 5-minute span. To us, it had been worth millions of dollars. It was all gone. He even lost his 7 children. Gone. In 5 minutes. And it looked like the old devil had fire come down from heaven and consumed some of his animals, and he had a whirlwind, a tornado, destroy his children. Who controls a tornado and who controls the fire of the lightning from heaven? God does. Satan was trying to make it look like God was after Job, and that was the whole discussion between Job and his 3 friends. God wouldn't do this to you unless there's sin in your life. And he said, guys, I'm clean. I love the Lord. And they said, no, you're not. You're dirty. And that's why God, look, I've never seen God take all of a man's children before. You must have done some dastardly thing. And so for like 35 chapters, his 3 friends blasted Job. But he made this statement, Job 17 something, or Job 4, I think I put it in here. I'm not sure exactly, don't remember. Job 13:15. He said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Satan tried to get him to turn his back on the Lord and give up like Peter did. And do you remember what his wife told him to do? Does anybody remember what Job's wife told him to do? Exactly what Job wouldn't do, but Peter did do. Curse God and die. It broke. She failed the test. She couldn't bear up under the loss of her children and all of her wealth and her husband's suffering. And she just broke down and said, honey, just curse God and die and go into heaven. And he said, though he slay me, yet will I trust him. So Job glorified the Lord by standing up and doing what's right. And when you and I pass a test, we can do the same thing. We glorify the Lord. Notice number 3. If we refuse to yield to temptations, we can earn greater rewards in heaven. Remember this. Every time you pass a test, there's a reward in heaven for it. Do you remember the passage? It says, even a cold cup of water given in Jesus' name does not lose its reward. So if a cold cup of water given to somebody doesn't lose its reward, you know that passing a test and saying no to Satan is going to honor the Lord and bring great rewards. Well, notice number 4. I had to put this in there because it's scriptural, but I didn't like doing it. Just want you to know, they can teach us patience. You know, they can teach us to wait on the Lord. And folks, tonight, the Lord does send us difficulties sometimes to teach us patience. And that is, I'll wait for you, Lord. Lord, I don't know which way to go, but I'm going to wait for you to show me clearly. Or sometimes it's, Lord, patience, hupomeno, is literally to carry the weight until the Lord says, I'll take it off of you. And we don't give up. We just keep bearing what God has laid in our hearts, or on our backs. And the idea is, and what I want you to understand tonight is, can you imagine Jesus saying, Lord, Father, I'm having a hard time. Satan's tempting me with food and haven't eaten in 40 days. And then he tempts him with, I took him up on the pinnacle of the temple and said, cast yourself down. And if you do, the Bible says the angels will catch you. And he said, Lord, you know, I know that's not what you meant when you said that in Scripture. Satan twisted Scripture to get Jesus Christ. And so he used another passage and said, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. So the Lord Jesus quoted Scripture correctly. Satan quoted it incorrectly. And the end result was at the end of the second temptation, it's like, Father, would you just tell Satan to leave me alone? I know this. Every one of us in this room have come to a point in life where we say, Lord, could you just tell Satan to give me a break? And we learn patience. We get stronger. We can take difficult things for a longer period of time and still have the joy of the Lord. Notice, if you would, letter C. In this passage, Jesus glorified his Father and gave us the correct example to follow. One of the benefits of doing what's right is you become an example to others. And now we're going to take just a minute, and I want you to follow along with me if you would. Notice chapter 4, verse 1 of Luke. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Spirit, did you get that? Being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan. You got to remember that, being filled with the Spirit, being full of the Holy Ghost here. Notice, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. Those two things are one of the keys to saying no to temptation, being full of God's Spirit and following the direction the Lord's leading you. Those two things are required. Now, they don't help you during the temptation, but those two things are what keep your heart strong enough to say no. So notice, if you would, verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he did eat nothing. And when they were ended, he afterward hungered. So he was a hungry person at the time of the temptations. And notice the first temptation, number 3, verse 3. And the devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God. And Jesus knew he was, but he had chosen not to use his power for himself. I'll use it on Lazarus. I'll use it on Jairus' daughter. I'll use it on blind men. I'll use it on lepers, but I won't use it for myself. Notice, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And he hadn't eaten for 40 days. Can you imagine the temptation that was? And Jesus answered him, saying, it is written. And I think there's no question that Jesus said it that way. It is written. In God's word it says that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. So he's quoting scripture to Satan as the temptations come. Verse 5, the devil taking him up into a high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and a moment of time. So in a moment of time, he lets all the kingdoms of the world. Now, as far as I know, there's only been, I think it's 4 of them. You've got Babylon, you've got Medo-Persians, you've got the Romans, and you know, as you begin to look at them, there's one more to come, the old devil. He's going to try to conquer the world for 3.5 years. He's going to rule the world. Well, you'll notice he says he shows them all of them in a moment of time and said, all these things will I give you. I'll let you be the ruler of the world if you'll fall down and worship me. Read it. Verse 6, and the devil said unto him, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, to whomsoever I will give it. If thou wilt therefore worship me, all shall be thine. Now, that's a temptation to all of us for power, for fame. Notice, verse 8, Jesus answered and said unto him, get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written. I love that. Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Verse 9, and he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple. Satan had the power to transport Jesus Christ all over the countryside. So he has great power. Notice, if you would. And I like this. Verse 6, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. God the Father gives Satan his power. And one of these days he's going to strip him of all of it. Revelation 20, verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast in the lake of fire, burning with brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. So Satan knows his time is limited. He's trying to wreck the plans of God. And so you'll notice in verse 9, he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple right on the top of the spire and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down. Notice this. Down from thence, for it is written. Did you get what he did? He quoted scripture just like Jesus did. That is why I want you to know where Scripture says what. Where does the Bible say God is good? Nahum 1:7, the Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And so I want you to know where those things are found, because one of these days Satan's going to come to you and say, God is not good. And you can say, Nahum 1:7, God is good. And notice if you would in verse number 10, for it is written, he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee. And in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. And that's a quote of Scripture in the book of Psalms. But it's not quoted correctly. It's not when you and I say, I'm going to jump off of here head first and it won't hurt me. I'm going to take a snake and it's not going to hurt me. It can bite me, but it won't hurt me. I'm going to jump out of an airplane without a parachute and trust God, the angels, to take care of me. You know what's going to happen, because that's not what God is saying. He's saying when you're in my will and you're full of my spirit, you're untouchable if I say so. And I'm saying to you that I will take care of you, and you're in the palm of my hand when you're in the center of my will. And Satan takes that part out and uses it as a temptation. And notice what Jesus said, verse 12, and Jesus answering said unto him, it is said, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And I love the idea, you know, Deuteronomy 6:16, verse number 13, he says, and when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. So I want to go back now to Roman numeral 2 in the outline. Notice this. Satan is a master at tempting us to sin. A master means they're experienced. They're good at it. They're professional. Notice, A, he tempts us at our weakest point. Jesus was fasting, and Satan challenged him to make bread with his power. Hunger was Jesus' greatest weakness. Now, the Lord Jesus had no weaknesses unless he allowed them. And he allowed himself not to eat for 40 days, and thereby he physically became his greatest, he had a weakness of wanting something to eat. So I want to be very careful saying Jesus Christ as God had a weakness, but Satan tempted him at the place where his humanity was hungry. Satan will tempt you at your weakest point. Maybe he's going to tempt you with your children. That's your weakest point. Or with money, because you need the comfort of money. Or it's a position. He's going to take your job to see what you do when you don't have that security. Maybe it's your health. I talked to Dr. Gleiser today. You know, Dr. Gleiser's an evangelist. He's booked up for like 3 years running. He's got all 52 weeks covered this coming year. And he started having some health issues, and they found a cancerous spot on his ribs. Took it off, and they thought he had some other issues. And he just wrote me back today and said, he is one of those 20-something people on my prayer list that I pray for every day. And he said, Dave, I got good news. He said, it's only 3%. The last time they caught my cancer, it was 60% through my body. He said, and they were able to get rid of it by the grace of God. He said, now they'll just change some treatments, some medicines, and it'll take care of the 3% of that cancer that's there. He said, I'm so grateful. But I can guarantee you, Morris was sitting in his office thinking, Lord, not again. He couldn't preach for a year. He was trying to recover. The Lord tempted him. Why don't you just give up, Morris? And I remember Morris called me. We talked from time to time pretty regular. And he said, you know, Dave, he said, I grew more in that 1 year with no money coming in with no income, without health than I ever have. And I said, well, then you passed the test. So Satan tempts us at our greatest weakness. So remember that tonight. Notice, if you would, in the outline, two, our temptations usually reveal our weak points. You know, when I reached up and grabbed a hold of those pair of cutters and put it on that wire shelf and did that, and it didn't snap, it revealed a weakness. And so I had two choices. I could say, well, I'll just forget it and go get a saw and just, and it'll take about half an hour and I can get it done. And, you know, the idea is, look, I'll just deal with the weakness. I'll accept it. Or you and I can say, well, I'm going to try to do something to strengthen myself. I'll try to get some weights. I'll try to do push-ups. I'll do pull-ups. I'll whatever. I'm going to do something to fix this weakness. So when you and I have a temptation to lustfulness, I'm going to do something. I'm going to memorize scripture, and I'm going to guard my eyes. Job said, I made a covenant with mine eyes. So why then should I think of a maiden? He had a weakness, and he fixed it. He said, I'm not going to let this get to my heart. And so, folks, tonight, whether it's money or covetousness or revenge to pay somebody back, I've tried to list some things here. Notice, our temptations usually reveal our weak points: lust, pride, covetousness, etc. They're all listed. I listed one here where Peter was tempted to deny Christ. He did, and he cursed doing it. And then he caught the eyes of Christ, and he started weeping bitterly. He failed the test, an F minus. But he said, I'm not going to let that stand. I'm going to repair that. And God let him write the two books of the Bible, 1 and 2 Peter. And you read that passage, when it came time to die, which he was afraid that would find him out. That's the reason he cursed in the first place, was so he could identify with the world that wouldn't think he was one of Jesus' disciples. He ended up being crucified upside down. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like Christ. He repaired the weakness and turned it into a strength. Notice, if you would, be in the outline, temptations usually come in waves. Satan doesn't let us go with just one temptation. He brings one after another after another. And the example here in this passage, he brought three in a row. He brought three in a row after he's weak and he's 40 days tempted and hungry. And you know you don't have much physical strength when you've been fasting for 40 days. And so all of a sudden he tempts him the first time, and then the second time, and then the third time. And so Satan comes at us in waves, and then he leaves us alone for a while because he gets tired of hearing scripture if we win. Notice, be in the outline, temptations usually come in waves. Satan tempts us over and over until we, one, fall, or two, stand up. He tempts us, all of us. Don't let him win, folks. One, he tries to tempt us beyond our ability to say no. And here's where we many times fail. We feel like he's tempting me and I just can't say no. I've tried to say no, and this is a drug addict. This is a pornographer. This is a smoker. This is a alcoholic. This is a filthy mouth person. This is a bitter person. I just can't say no. I'm tired. I'm going to pay somebody back. Well, you'll notice, the Lord prohibits this. The Lord says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 13, there's no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. God promises that Satan will not be able to give you more than you can stand up to and say no to. Now, I'm certain there were times when Job wanted to give up, like his wife did. But he got to the point where he said, though he kills me, I'm still going to do what's right. Now, notice, two, Satan will also try to wear us down. He'll tempt us, leave us alone a little while, tempt us some more. He'll try to wear you down. Health is the number one way he'll try to wear us down. As you get a little older, that's one of the reasons I had so much respect for Pat Arnold. I've never known anybody personally that went through dialysis every other day for 13 years and said, "Pastor, I want to come to church," when she wasn't here. And when she'd get out of dialysis, she'd get somebody to bring her here. And I remember the Van Rokels would pick her up regularly, and she'd sit up over there on that side, and she'd kind of lean like this because she was exhausted. But she says, "I want to come to church. I love church." She refused to give in. And her whole family said she was a strong lady. You want to know why? She learned to say no. "I'm not going to give in, Satan." Satan tempts us most of the time physically, sometimes financially, sometimes with bitterness. He's good at what he does. He finds our weakness and he comes after us. The devil is as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. 1 Peter chapter 5. Notice, if you would, Roman numeral 3. There is a way to have victory over temptation. Here it is. We must be yielded to the Holy Spirit. That first thing in chapter 4, verse 1, being full of the Holy Ghost and being led by the Spirit. That's the way you yield to the Spirit. Being full of the Holy Spirit, getting rid of all the sin in your life, keeping it out, yielding to the Holy Spirit, "I'll do anything you want me to do," and we yield to his direction. We're led by him. That's step number one. Number two, we must believe God will prevent too much temptation for us. We know we can choose to stand. That's one thing God wants us to know. "I will not allow him to tempt you above that you're able, but will with the temptation provide a way of escape." So the Lord wants everybody in this room to know that you are strong enough. "I will give you the strength to say no to Satan's temptation. I will not let him tempt you above that you're able." Everybody in this room ought to memorize 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13. No matter what the temptation is, the Lord says, "I won't let it be too much. I'll give you the strength. Either I'll ease the temptation or I'll strengthen your heart. Both of them, but I will not let him tempt you above that you're able." Notice, see, we must know and use Scripture against Satan. That's one of the reasons everybody in this room needs to have your devotions every day and try your best to remember what you read, the passage that you read. You want to use, take a verse of Scripture like a bullet and put it in your belt so you can keep your gun loaded. Satan tempts you. It is written, "Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Deuteronomy 6:16. Bang. Another one. Another one. And the Bible says, "And the devil leaveth him." So you have to have enough bullets to fight off the devil. Notice, if you would, D, when Satan hears enough Scripture, he will leave us alone. Verse 13, when the devil had ended all the temptations, he departed from him for a season. Take your Bible and turn to Matthew chapter 4. I want you to see this, Matthew chapter 4. Notice with me, if you would, we get a little bit more insight. Verse 10, then Jesus saith unto him, "Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written." Verse 11, then the devil leaveth him, and behold, the angels came and ministered unto him. Why? Because he heard enough Scripture. He hates the Word of God. Leave me alone. I had a missionary that I can't remember where I was when I heard the story, but the missionary told me the story. He said, I was in South America, and there was a young girl that had been in bed, and I had a New Testament in my pocket. The father asked me to come if I'd come pray with her. And she hadn't walked. She had been crippled for a long time. And so I walked into the room, and he said, I'll let you go in by yourself. And I knelt down by her bed, and I began to pray for her in Jesus' name. And he said, and I looked up, and she sat up in bed, and she started to get out of the bed and come toward me. She began to speak to me in a male voice. He said, I was terrified. He said, I could not move except my right hand, and it had the Word of God in it. And he said, I took the Word of God, and I pushed off the bed. I fell off the bed, turned and looked back, and she was laying back in bed like nothing had ever happened. He said, I learned a lesson that day that Satan cannot deal with the Word of God, but he's stronger than me or anybody on this earth, but he cannot handle the Word of God. And I always remember that little story about the only thing on my body that worked was my right hand, and I had a copy of the Word of God in it. He said, I began to quote scripture, turn around and get back, and she was laying in bed. He said, I realized she was demon-possessed, but I was spirit-possessed, and God spared my life. Tonight, everybody in this room, learn the lesson. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Psalm 119. Today, could I ask you to be prepared? Prepared to do what's right. Know the word of God. Know your God. He will not let you be tempted above that you're able. Know that he loves you, and it's only a test. And we can all pass it. Let's bow our heads for the prayer tonight. I'm going to ask the pianist to come and play just a verse of invitation hymn. I encourage you, if you need to come tonight, Lord, I need more strength. Lord, I need your power, whatever the need is tonight. Encourage you to come. The Lord loves you. He wants his children to be strong. Father, speak to our hearts tonight. Help your word to be that which we need. Lord, help us all to grow in you. In your name we pray. Amen.